Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
Today, we're going to finish our series on miracles. We're going to look at the Mark chapter 2. This is personally one of my favorite miracles because these people do crazy things to bring a paralyzed man to Jesus. Let's take a look at this story. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he'd come home. And when they heard that, they gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. I believe when Jesus is in the house and there's a healer in the house, people come. And there's large numbers. They gathered. There's so many people, they couldn't even get outside the door. And it says, and he preached the word to them. Some men, doesn't say their name, but there's people. And I think these men are like some of you watching here who model this lifestyle. It says this, some men came bringing to him, Jesus, a paralyzed man. Now, when I say paralyzed, the guy was numb. I don't know if he was born numb. I don't know if his circumstances were numb. I don't know, but I know he was paralyzed. And maybe you're watching today and you're paralyzed with the circumstances of life and you're numb. And maybe you drink yourself numb. Maybe you're numb because because the pain has been so difficult. You don't know how to handle it. I don't know, but he was lame. And it says this, and he was carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, I want you to think about that. We'll talk about the crowd later on. But they were in the way. They made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it. And when they lowered the mat to the man was lying on, it says, and Jesus saw their faith. I want to stop you. He saw their faith. He saw those men's faith. And I believe this. Faith changes everything. Your faith can impact your friend's life. It was their faith. He said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Because of their faith. Because of their faith, he impacted people's lives for eternity. This gentleman's life was changed. It says, now some of the teachers of the law, that's some of the crowd, they became critical. They were there watching the whole circumstance. Some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. I want to pause here. You know, we're a spirit-empowered church. We believe that the same gifts of the Spirit that happened in the Bible happen today. When the apostles died, the gifts didn't stop. And here's a picture of the prophetic gift in operation, the gift, the word of knowledge, where Jesus knew in his spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit inside of him knew what those men were thinking. He wasn't told what they were thinking. He knew it. It's insider trading information like Martha Stewart had, but didn't get thrown. He didn't get thrown in jail with this type of insider trading information. It says this, he knew in his spirit what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take up your mat, and walk. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And I love this. It says, he got up, he took his mat, he walked out in full view of all of them, and this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. Now, why do I love this passage? I love this passage because he begins to dialogue with the critics and they're saying, you know, well, who can forgive sins like this? And he goes, man, if I can forgive sins, You want to know how I know I can forgive sins? Because I can heal the sick. If God can heal the sick, he can forgive sins. This story is really about two dimensions of the supernatural, or two dimensions of miracles. There's two types of miracles this story talks about. Number one, the ultimate miracle. Verse 5, he said, son, your sins are forgiven. See, I don't know if you understand, if you're listening today, the most incredible miracle that could ever happen in your life is when your sins are forgiven by the almighty loving God. You know, Jesus knows everything about you, and he still loves you. Wrap your mind around that for a second. Jesus knows everything about you, and he still loves you. And I don't know, there are some of you that know everything about yourself, and you don't love yourself because of that. But let me tell you something. The ultimate healing in the world, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, or the ultimate healing, is eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not, what? Perish, but have everlasting life. The ultimate healing in the world. And friends, I know we talk about miracles and talk, but the ultimate miracle in this world is when your sins are forgiven by the almighty God. You know, because we sin, we deserve to die, be separated from God for eternity. But Jesus came and died on the cross to give you the ultimate healing, to heal you from a disease called sin. The Bible says in Ezekiel, the prophet said, the soul that sins, it shall die. And the prophet wasn't trying to scare people to living right. The prophet was telling you how life works. See, here's the reality. There's an expiration date on the milk carton of every one of our lives. And the ultimate healing is when Jesus says, you know something? Someday you'll be absent from the body, but you'll be present with the Lord, because there's someone named Jesus who can heal us of the sin disease. The second healing we see in this story is the immediate healing. That's the physical healing. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full. How many of you would have liked to have been there that day when you saw that miracle? The last month and a half at True North has been difficult for not just because of the mandates and the challenges with opening, how open can you be, how many people can have the office, and how we did church, but one of our close friends, Lindsay Dreyer, one of our admins, We got a text message from Pastor Josh, her husband, a month and a half ago, a little over a month ago, saying, you know, please pray. My wife went in for an MRI or a CAT scan, and they think she's going to have an aneurysm. There's a mass in there. And so we're like, oh, no, an aneurysm. And then they rush her in for an MRI, and they say there's a mass in there that they think might be cancerous. And we're like, oh. And so all this stuff going on, and there's a mass. MRI number one shows a mass. CAT scan number one shows a mass. And we're praying, and so until they knew it was, if they knew it was cancer, they couldn't do surgery, and all the different things of all the, and some of you out there know what I'm talking about, because there's things that have been postponed for you because of the mandates. Well, last week, Lindsay went back a week and a half ago for another CAT scan, or that's last week actually, and the CAT scan number two shows no mass at all. It's completely gone. That's an immediate healing. God healed her. There's one MRI with a picture of a tumor. There's another MRI with no tumor, because God can heal. There's a gentleman in our church that several months ago flew to Seattle to have a tumor, a mass removed from his stomach. We got down there and said, I really feel like you should do another MRI to find out or whatever. And so they tested him, and the mass was gone. Here at True North, we believe the ultimate healing is salvation for sin. But we believe God can immediately heal people if he chooses to. Divine healing is still for today. The Bible says, go into all the world, preach the gospel, lay your hands on the sick, and they will recover. God heals people. How many of you believe that watching today? In fact, this Sunday, May 31st, we're going to pray for the sick. If you need a miracle, come. We'll anoint you with oil. We're going to believe God for miracles on May 31st. We're going to have an encounter service, a miracles. Let's believe God for miracles on the 31st of May. Come join us. Now, I want to pivot here. Again, this story, I think, talks about the two types of miracles, the ultimate and the immediate. But this story also unpacks four types of people. And I think we can be one of these people at different times, if not multiple types. I mean, we're not always the same people, I don't think. But number one, the four types of people in this text are number one, the crowd. Now, who's the crowd? The crowd was the group of people that stood between Jesus and the four friends trying to get this man to Jesus. And it raises a question for me, and that's this. Do you ever block the door for those who need to get to Jesus? You know, I've done lots of research on evangelism, and I'm passionate about reaching people far from Jesus. And you read enough books, you categorize things. And it's because it's easier to categorize people and put them in categories. And I think sometimes we unfortunately label people, categorize them. But I think there's a categorization out there that's real. And that's this. This author wrote about there's some people who they call the nuns. They want nothing to do with Jesus, nothing to do with church. They're the nuns. And then there's another segment called the duns. They're done with church. They're done with Jesus. And typically the duns are done with Jesus because of the crowd or the people that so turned them off to Jesus, they don't want to be around. They crowd. Jesus, the healer's in the house, but they can't get to Jesus because the crowd's in the way. My prayer is none of us watching today would ever be the crowd. So I believe this. If you're a Jesus follower, and you follow Jesus, I believe this with all my heart. You might be the only Jesus some people ever see. You're Jesus with skin on. And my question is this. Do you ever block the door for those who need to get to Jesus? Maybe our lifestyle, maybe our words, maybe our conversations. We don't walk the talk, or one thing in church, another thing at home, one thing in church, another thing, or we change depending on the people we're around. Are you consistent with Jesus? Don't be the crowd. The second group of people in this story is the carried. And what I love about the carried is, see, it says some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Now, I don't know why they carried him. I don't know if he asked them to. I don't know if they did an intervention and went to his house and said, but I know this, they knew Jesus was in the house. They heard he come back to Capernaum and they heard he was at so-and-so's house and they picked him up, took him, they carried him to Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I think one of the hardest things we can ever do in life is admit we need to be carried. Maybe you're watching this episode today. You're on our live stream. And maybe you're out there and you're stuck. And the reality is you need help. You're suffering in silence. You're walking through the pain by yourself. You're drinking yourself numb. You're paralyzed by the challenges of life, and all the problems are coming out you're paralyzed to immobility, and you don't know how to get to Jesus, but you don't want to admit the fact you need help. I want to encourage you, if you need help, let someone know. We'd love to carry you. We'd love, because I think there's the third group of people here is number three, the carriers. I love what the Bible says. It says, some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. I mean, think about it. I don't know if this young man, or I don't know how old this gentleman was, or how large he was, if he was small frame, big frame, but four friends picked him up on a mat. I don't know how many times they had to pause and say, hey, let's take a break here. It's getting kind of heavy. I don't know how far they walked, but they carried this man to Jesus. They had to communicate. They had to work together. They had to pick him up. There was a weight they carried. They had to carry some, they had to burden and carry some burdens right now. And they picked, and since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. They were the carriers. They picked someone up and they made an intervention. And in fact, the question I want to ask with the carriers is this question. And the third question is, it's right there. Are we more comfortable with helping others than we are with admitting we need help ourselves? See, I think, well, I love True North Church. One of the things I love about True North Church is the hundreds of people who serve at True North Church. They give of themselves, they give of their energies. But my fear is this, I think sometimes we'd rather carry than be carried. And I think sometimes we carry so we don't have to face the very fact that some of us have needs ourselves and we don't carry or be carried. And so that's why that's why we have life groups. That's why, because we feel like we need to be carried at times and we need to carry. And then there's the fourth group of people in this story. This was actually a large group. It was the critics. It was the critics. It was the folks who missed the miracle because of how it was done, what Jesus said. And the question I have for you is this. Are you more concerned with the method than the miracle? You know, church is funny. Church people are funny. You know, we love the good sermon that Jesus is preaching. We love all those aspects these critics did. They wanted to be there and see it. But the moment Jesus does something outside their paradigm of how they think it should be done, it just kind of really messed with their mindset. And they started critiquing what happened and how it happened. And I think sometimes God could be doing something beyond. In fact, I don't think God needs your permission to do things his way. But sometimes I think the church, when I say the church can become critical and become the crowd, and we can push people away from Jesus because the methods might be different today. I remember years ago, I worked with a gentleman named Dr. Fulton Buntain, and I remember we had about 50 to 75 voice youth choir, and they'd come on Sunday nights and they would play music, and there was a live band and the drums were playing, and Pastor Buntain would get up and say, hey, there's a bunch of you to know that the youth are going to be singing tonight, and I know what you're thinking. Well, I don't know, because their music's loud and I don't like how their music is, and he says, but don't you dare not come tonight to church. Because they sit through church and sing your songs. They sit through church and they don't get up and leave if they don't like what happens. And sometimes I think, now what I love about True North is we don't see this very often at True North. But let's not be people who are so critical of how something can be done that we miss the miracle. The ultimate miracle was someone's life was transformed by the grace of Jesus and his sins were forgiven. And then there was the immediate miracle where his life was transformed because his life was impacted and his paralyzed limbs were no longer paralyzed. They were mobilized. He got up and he walked. And I don't know about you. I hope we see that at True North a lot in Jesus' name. Now, what I love about True North Church is we have what we call this culture of risk. We'll try new things. I remember, it was 3 years ago, 4 years ago now. And I went to the board and I said, guys, we have two gatherings and we're full. We got to start another service. And one of the board members says, well, Mark, when are we going to start that service? I said, I think we should do it for May 17th. And if you know churches don't typically start new services in the middle of the summer or as school's getting out. And I remember this board member says, well, Mark, I don't think people come to church in the summer. I don't know if we should start in the summer. But he says this, I love what he said, but we have a culture of risk here. We will try something. If it doesn't work, we can go back to what's normal. And so this summer, with even the summer schedule change of three gatherings on Sunday morning, one on Wednesday night, it's a risk. Tried something new. Why? We have a culture of risk here. So again, we'll have new service times, 9, 10:30, and noon on Sunday with a 6 p.m. Wednesday night. Youth ministry is moving back to Sunday night at 6 o'clock. Now, the good news about that is there's never school activities on Sunday night when school launches. And so we'll launch with a big party on that day. But here's the deal. We're more concerned at True North with the paralyzed people getting back up and walking and their sins being forgiven than how and the methods that we do things. Now, there's a key verse I want to point out, and I love the key verse. It's verse 5 of this chapter that says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. When he saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. He saw their faith. See, that's the key verse. And why is it the key verse? Because when he saw their faith, they got creative. They couldn't get to Jesus. So what happens? They go up to the rooftop. They take a chainsaw, I don't know how, and they start digging through the roof. They lower the man to Jesus. That's called creativity. That's called risk-taking. That's called being crazy. At True North Church, we call it this. We will do anything short of sin to reach people. To reach those far from God, we'll do what nobody's doing to reach people nobody is reaching. See, here's the thing. At True North Church, we exist to be those men. Those gentlemen who their passionate faith for a friend caused them to bear burdens that someone else was weighing them down with. It caused them to break some rules, cut through some roofs, and caused them to do things no one else was doing so they could get someone to Jesus. And that's why at True North, this summer we're gonna launch something in July and early August, where we're gonna do 2 weeks of outreaches in our community, kind of like a 12 days of Christmas in the summertime, because we want to make a difference. We want to touch the paralyzed people. Friends, that's why we're crazy enough to have campuses in Nenana, campuses in New Ixit. The main reason we're moving to a Wednesday evening gathering is because we want to film our Wednesday night and continue to produce a show for CBS. And we also want to begin to produce a live television show with even different worship, so we can begin to find teachers in villages, leaders in villages who maybe aren't a pastor, maybe we can't afford to hire a pastor for a community of 100 people, but there's a teacher that we could send a series to a 1 month ahead of time, and they could push the play button, and we can pastor communities in creative ways we've never done. Why? Because let's break the rules. Let's take the roofs off. What are you doing? How are you carrying people to Jesus? Or you need to be carried? Or are you the crowd or the critic? Let's be a church where we're not the critic, we're not the crowd, but rather we're the committed, and we're and why? Because we believe everyone needs the ultimate healing, salvation. Everyone does. In fact, if you're watching today and you've never made a commitment to Jesus, here's the reality. There's an expiration date on the milk carton of your life. We're not promised tomorrow. We may die today. We may die tomorrow. We don't know God's plan for our life, but we know this. There's an expiration date on all of our lives. And my question for you is this. If you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven when you die? You can know for sure. You can know Jesus. We always tell people at True North, it's as easy as A, B, C. A, admit you've sinned. B, believe that Jesus died on the cross. And C, confess. We've all sinned. Admit it. God, I've sinned. I've fallen short of your plan for my life. A, admit. B, believe. And C, confess. Believe that Jesus died for you. And C, confess him as Lord. The Bible says if you confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. If you're watching today and you've never prayed that prayer of salvation, you've never prayed the prayer, say, Lord, I confess, I admit, I believe. I'd like to pray with you right now. Would you bow your heads wherever you're at? If you're driving down the road, please keep your eyes open. Would you pray with me? Would you close your eyes? Just pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, today, I admit I've sinned, but I believe you died for my sins. You died on the cross to forgive me. You loved me that much, and the ultimate healing for my life is a relationship with Jesus. Please forgive me today for my sins. And today I confess you as the Lord of my life. I confess you as my life leader. Please lead me. Please guide me. Please help me serve you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.